welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, March 25th, 2013, and this is episode 43. My name is Robert Couch. I go by Rob. With me is Jason Sutherland. He goes by Jason. Much more conventional than me. I like to shorten. Jason likes to go with the full thing.
Well, my full name is Jasonius.
Oh, my apologies, Sir Jasonius. Of Slingerland.
I kind of wish it was Jason.
It'd be pretty funny.
It'd be pretty awesome. Yeah.
Of Slingerland.
Yes, of Slingerland. It's not, though. It's just Jason.
It's just Jason.
And I suppose I could go by Jay, but it doesn't really interest me.
You're not a tool, at least as far as I can tell.
I'd hope by now you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I've known
sure.
you for a long time.
I don't like Jay.
I know people named Jay.
Yeah.
I know one guy named Jay that's cool. I know another guy named Jay that's not cool.
I don't know anybody whose name is just Jay. I know Jeremy's and Jason's who go by Jay.
Oh, that's true.
I just don't.
Jeremy's that go by Jay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple. Well, one of them. I know one Jeremy goes by Jay.
That's weird.
You can
tell him I said so.
Yeah. I don't know if he still does, actually. When he was young, he did. How's it going?
Oh.
Sir Jasonius.
It's just lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Lovely.
It's beautiful. Thought winter was done.
Yeah, beautiful snowy
again.
Weather outside.
Yeah,
that's
just
fantastic.
When you think it's done.
Everything is melted. The birds were starting to chirp. I was like, man, I should go pick up all those sticks in my backyard that fell down. And then snow.
Yep.
More snow.
I'm excited because I'm going to build a garden this year outside.
Mm-hmm.
And
you going to build it out of Legos?
Yes. No, I'm going to build a raised garden.
Going to build it in Minecraft?
No. I'm going to take wood and a nail gun and build a raised garden.
Oh.
In my backyard.
Okay. It's like you're going to do real labor.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Didn't you do a garden?
We did, yeah. We put it too close to the woods and the deer ate everything. So we just tilled it under and let the grass grow back, and we're going to try again. I did that like 2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not concerned about deer because we have a fenced-in backyard.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put a fence around the garden.
Yeah, I had like a 4-foot fence that was not high enough to keep the deer out. It kept all the bunnies out, but didn't keep the deer out.
Yeah, I have a 6-foot-tall privacy fence. I feel pretty comfortable.
Yeah, if we do it this year, we're going to have to put it in a different corner of the yard up against our privacy fence and then build another fence on the other two sides.
Yeah.
That's probably what we'll do.
So I'm excited about it. I want to grow some veggies and...
Yeah, grow some good stuff.
Yeah, it'll be good times. So...
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. It's super exciting. We're excited all the time on this show because we are excited about... board games and card games and tabletop gaming. We're excitable people.
Sure.
I'm a lot more excited than you.
I'm normally excited.
You're kind of dull today.
Kind of, yeah. I'm tired.
Why are you tired from building a garden? Sorry.
No.
Oh, wait, you haven't even started that yet.
I'm tired because I should sleep more.
Banter. Probably. Banter's fun.
Sorry.
What you been playing?
Oh, I've been playing the same thing you've been playing, Rob.
All of our prototypes.
Specifically your stupid prototype.
My stupid...
I just said that because I was mad at you right then.
Yeah.
No, I've been playing, as we teased on the last episode, Frankenstein's Legacy.
Legacy, 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 legacy. Yeah, that was my fake echo. Yeah, Frankenstein's Legacy. I've actually had a chance... I've managed to play it 3 times.
Wow.
Yeah, 3 times now. The first 2 times... I learned a lot, but we did not finish the game. The 3rd time, I actually managed to finish the whole game.
That's the problem.
That was a big step. That was a big step. We actually finished a full game. It was only a 2-player game, so it went a little faster than normal, but still. I'll start out talking about my experience, and then you tell me your experience, okay?
Sure, sure.
All right. Frankenstein's Legacy, which I pitched a couple, 3 episodes back, I guess. I should say repitched.
Repitched.
Originally repitched or pitched it last year. Okay. So I put it all together, finished doing the cards, and went over to a friend's house and played a 4-player game of that. And it was pretty much a disaster. pretty much that. We didn't finish. To recap, the first you're trying to build a monster, your own version of Frankenstein's monster. The first thing you have to do is you have to test your parts on the workbench. And then step 2 is you have to put those parts on the operating table, and then shock life into the monster. Okay. Between 4 players, we only managed to get 2 body parts onto the operating table. Out of 6 each.
So you needed 24. You had 2.
2 of us each had 1.
Yeah.
And that didn't go very well at all. but learned a lot. And then we got together and the four of us played, you and I and our wives.
Yep.
And we recorded that. That's the one that listeners are going to get to hear very soon. Recorded that game and had kind of the same problems, frankly, that it was just taking too long to get anywhere with it.
It was weird because it didn't feel like it was taking too long, but it sure was.
It sure was, yeah. In reality, it felt like it was moving fast. And a big part of that is because, you know, you guys and we are familiar with deck building games, with that concept,
right,
and the flow of that. And so it managed to go pretty smoothly, and we felt like we were moving through cards pretty well. The previous couple that we had played with were not as familiar. Well, frankly, had never played a deck building game before, so it was all kind of new and different to them.
Okay.
And so this was kind of, unfortunately, a tough one for them to start with because it didn't work.
Right. And it was... Compared to some deck building games, like a Dominion, mm-hmm, this is way more complex.
It was at that time. I've simplified it now.
But I mean, still, there's a lot more steps than Dominion. Dominion is buy more stuff.
Right. That's true.
Do stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you've got stages and so.
Yeah, you're right. So it was a little more detailed. So so when the four of us played, it went well. I learned a lot, again, you know, but still it was too complicated. There's too much stuff going on, too much that we had to think about. So then the following night, Christine and I sat down, just two-player, played at home. I pulled some features out of it. Like previously, I had said that we have biological connectors and electrical connectors and biological pieces of lab equipment and electrical pieces of lab equipment. I cut all those differences out. So it's just easier to put things together on your table. And that simple change alone made all the difference. It was so much easier and faster to get stuff going, to get things happening on the table, to test parts, get them on the operating table. And we got to a point in the game where Christine had 5 out of 6 body parts on her operating table ready to go. And I had 2 on my table. And I was like, man, this is awful. Am I just playing bad? Is this a game unbalanced? What is going on? I don't know. And then within about 8 turns, I was up to 5 out of 6 parts
on
my operating table. So I just had to get to that point in my deck. I was prepared. I was ready to go. But I just had to catch up with her, basically.
Right.
And get through those cards in my deck. And I ended up winning. And I ended up winning basically because I pulled out my Captain McMurphy, which made her discard the one last parts card that she had. She needed a heart. And she only had 1 heart in her deck, and she drew it, and I drew it. Captain McMurphy made her discard it, and it went back in her deck. And then it took me basically through. I had to go almost all the way through my whole deck again to get the legs out. The only thing I was missing was a pair of legs. And Christine kept. She had like 5 pairs of legs in her deck, and she was like waving them at me. Ha! I got the legs, you know. And so I finally got my legs, and I won. And that was on the last turn. The next hand that she had drawn that heart back up again, was about to win. So that felt really, really good.
That's cool.
That ended up evening out that way. That might have just been purely chance, of course.
Right.
You know, we need a lot more testing to know if that's going to work. And there are a lot more changes that I still need to make to it. Okay, don't get me wrong. But that was very, very satisfying to finally accomplish, number one, finish the game, and for it to end in that kind of tense moment. And one thing that I really wanted to do with the game is have those kind of tense die roll moments, you know, where like, oh man, everything's gonna hinge on the roll of this die. I don't know, how's it gonna go, what's gonna happen, I don't know. And you know, and you want to set yourself up to have a pretty good likelihood, but then again, sometimes it just comes down to the roll of die. And it's not the end of the world, but it can be pretty important.
Right.
And I feel like that gets in there pretty well. That I was really happy with how that shook out. So what were your thoughts?
So, you know, one of the things that we said on the episode even that struck both my wife and I was the game took forever, but it was so fun. And we didn't feel like the hour that we played just flew by.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think it was about 45 minutes in the hour that I realized, wow, we're not making much progress here.
Yeah.
But, like, I felt like I was doing so much stuff. you know, the definitely the biggest stopping block was the connector thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the, you know, is it biological, is it electrical? So mm-hmm. getting rid of that, yeah, I think is a great idea to really just simplify and let us, you know, play faster.
Yeah.
You know, one of the other things that I felt like was because you feel like money's a little more easy to get in this than some deck building games. And your purchasing mm-hmm. power is very good.
Yeah.
Because you've got several ways to get stuff. You can buy it. You can send your assistants to get it. And you know, once you get several assistants, you end up getting a lot of parts really fast.
Yeah.
And the parts are awesome because they allow you to draw more cards, which, frankly, in a deck-building game is one of the most powerful things you can do.
Sure.
Oh, wait, no, the parts don't let you draw more cards.
They allow you, they give you more spending power.
Right. The parts that you spend more money, it's some of the equipment that lets you draw more cards.
Draw more cards into your hand, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, what was I going to say about that? I really think that, I lost my train of thought. Hold on, give me a second.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, from my point of view, right, I have six different types of equipment in the game right now. And I want more types of equipment to offer more variety. I had originally had it set up so that every single piece of equipment would allow you to draw more cards to your hand. But then I decided to diversify that so it wasn't quite so broad.
And that's a good idea, I think, too. Now, did you end up adding in connector bonuses?
I did, yeah.
Because originally when we played, the connectors did nothing but connect connect the body part to the equipment.
Right.
Which was kind of bummer.
Just kind of left them being sort of empty and useless.
And the rules were difficult. You
they
know?
Were
I mean,
very difficult. They were too difficult.
If you had a +5,
yeah,
you were doing pretty well. And that
you
was
still
on
to
a
roll
D10.
It on a D10. Yeah.
Yeah, you had to roll 5 or less. That was rough.
That was rough. Yeah. So in addition to dropping the biological versus electrical connector detail, I also added bonuses to the rolls for those connectors. So that made those rolls a little more doable.
And, you know, one of the things was we were waiting so long to get to make those rolls because mm-hmm. we were so afraid to make those rolls and screw them up.
Yeah.
Whereas by adding the connector bonus in, now my statistics for passing are a lot higher.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm more willing to risk it.
Right.
I know what I was going to say. You know, you get this huge deck going because it's so easy to get a hold of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've just got these cards and you're like, half these cards are not useful to me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where being able to trash stuff comes in. And I know you added some features for that, correct?
Well, I didn't in that last game that we played. I said, I don't want to change too much every time. Totally. So yeah. I limited myself, but you definitely need to add some ability to ditch cards, trash them, whatever. Yeah, absolutely do.
Cool. Yeah, that would be really nice because, man, I'll tell you, we had too many cards in our decks.
We did.
Yeah. And like you said, it took forever to get back to what you wanted,
mm-hmm.
you know, and trashing cards helps you and hurts you. You know what I mean? The mm-hmm. single fuse cards, like by the end, I had like probably 15 of them in my deck.
Yeah.
And all they were doing was getting in the way of me drawing bigger fuse cards.
Right. Right.
So same with body parts. I had way too many body parts and mm-hmm. while they're worth money and that's cool. The really bad body parts, I just wish I could have thrown those away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of the suggestions you made, which is a good one, was to say that if you it give you the option to trash a card before a roll, and for every card from your hand that you trash, not just discard, but put in the trash, that would give you a +1 to your roll. But I think, but you'd have to declare those before you roll.
Right.
Yeah.
You say, I want this roll,
mm-hmm.
and then you roll it. Yeah.
Right.
And you discard, say, I'm going to discard 4 cards out of my hand. Give
trash,
myself
not just discard.
Sorry, trash. Yes, yeah. yes. I'm going to throw these away out of the game and mm-hmm. and I'm going to roll and I know I'm going to make it now because I have a +10. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, the worry that I have with that not that that's bad, but the worry is that people might want to be able to get rid of those cards in some other way also, not just tied to a roll. So, you know, I'm not sure how.
But it's not like they're married to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like they have to say, oh, I need help with this roll. So I'm going to trash them.
Mm-hmm.
You could be like, hey, I'm going to make a roll because I want to trash these cards.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
So, I mean, you could have a +8 already and say, I'm going to trash 4 cards because I need to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Now mm-hmm. I have a +12. Big deal.
Big deal. You know what I mean? That's basically an automatic win.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It might be nice to have a 0 or a 10
mm-hmm.
always be a failure. Kind of like like D&D.
Yeah.
A one is always a failure.
Yeah, that might be
actually,
a good idea.
They changed that, but that way you've got a 10% chance of failure no matter what
you do. No matter what, yeah. That's a good idea. I should consider that. Or even just make it a 1 is an automatic failure. Period. Well, you wouldn't want to do that.
You know, a 0 in a D10, 0 makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
because it's never 10; it's always 0.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good thought. Okay. I don't want to hog all the time here for Frankenstein though, because we also played two of your games. We played Snowball Fight, which I think you're going to pitch today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. We also played Freaky Tiki's. I'm not sure how much you're ready to talk about that in advance of pitching it.
I'll just talk about it a little. You know what? Okay. I kind of try to stretch my game designing muscles with this one. I tried to go different than what I normally did. Yeah. The main core mechanic of the game, there's a role selection mechanic to it,
right.
Which I like, but I've always done it as a variable player power thing where you draw a card, it's a character, they have a power, you get to use them. This is role selection. I mean, kind of like a la Citadels. Mm-hmm. One of the suggestions I really liked was Chevy Dodd. When he was on the show, he talked about the Rochester draft, which is the face-up draft.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, instead of making it like Citadels where it's a blind, you know, card draft, pass it around, let's make it an open face one.
Sure.
So one card gets put down, five cards are face up, four players choose, one gets thrown away. There's always one that randomly is gone out of your six choices for the roles you can choose. And the roles in this game are tiki masks you mm-hmm. can choose to
You're
wear.
Putting on the different tiki masks.
Yeah, and they all have powers. And I won't go into those, but the main gist, though, of the game involves voting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a mechanic I frankly never thought I would have used in a game.
Sure.
But we kind of talked about it, and I was like, man, this sounds like I'm going to try and do a game with voting and not have it be like a real political game.
Sure.
And I really think this is not a political game.
It kind of is. I mean, you're trying to sway the tribe to vote in your favor.
But it's got a theme pasted on that doesn't feel political.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, there's tribe tokens. There's 20 tribe tokens. And we started with 50. Mm-hmm. And that was way too many.
Much.
And then 30. And that was still too many. Mm-hmm. And so now we're down to 20. And the idea is you're performing these feats of strength every turn to try and sway tribe members over to your team.
Mm-hmm.
So that because the tribe members cast one vote based on the simple majority, like the Electoral College. They all get together, they decide, and one person votes for someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're to win the game, you have to get voted for five times or win five rounds of voting. And so you're trying to sway the tribe and you're trying to sway the elders. There are two separate pools of people, and there's only five elders, and they're a lot harder to get.
Mm-hmm.
The difficulty of the feats that they want you to perform a lot higher. And
yeah.
So it's all about trying to persuade the majority to be on yours. And then the one last thing I'll say about it that I'm really proud of, and I feel like it works. I don't know. You can tell me what you think, but the voting mechanic in that. So you can vote for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can vote for any other player, and it's blind. You take a card that says what you're going to do or a token, put it face down, and then everyone reveals at the same time. And at the same time, two people are going to get to control how the undecided tribe votes and how the undecided elders vote.
Right.
So there's six votes cast every turn.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a tie for the top spot and there's no clear winner, that means that the tribe loses faith in everyone. And that's just represented as the tribe moving up the tick tracker, just like the players are,
mm-hmm.
On kind of the center tableau. And if they get five votes of no confidence, basically,
mm-hmm.
everyone loses the game.
All comes crashing down.
Yeah, the tribe disperses and everybody loses.
Yeah.
Because that way, you can't just always, you know, you have to think about how you're voting. And I felt like when we played, that worked pretty well.
It did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Better than I kind of thought it would work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, no, I feel like that the game doesn't really ramp up until someone starts getting a majority of villagers or
yes.
tribes people.
Or at least the majority is not in the undecided pile.
Right, yeah. That's when the game really ramps up, and we were just getting to that point when we called it.
Right.
And listeners, again, this is another one we recorded. You'll be able to hear that recording pretty soon here.
After I pitch the game, it'll actually probably be a little while on this one, guys. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
But
yeah,
based on the schedule, it happens.
Right. That's when the game starts to really get different and stand out and I think really be something different and something special. So it was frustrating that we didn't get to that point enough. We didn't get past that point to really get into that for me.
Right.
Being the first time playing, I feel like I didn't really experience everything about the game that I wanted to.
Right. And I want to take it back and try it again.
Mm-hmm. I want to try it again too. Yeah.
I think really soon we're going to get a chance to try it with some playtesters. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. With some other friends who we've never got to test games with before. So that should be good.
Right.
These are dedicated game players. So that should be really fun.
Yeah. We're looking forward to that.
And, I'm hoping that with that, you know, we really get some good feedback, both for Frankenstein's Legacy and for Freaky Tiki.
Right.
So, yeah. So, yeah. Cool.
But, yeah, but that said, it's a totally great idea. I love the theme. I love that the Tiki masks are your different roles. I really like that idea. The elders and the villagers, it's a good, easy split. Everything fits together really well with that theme.
Thanks.
Along with your feats of strength, and you had all those written out pretty nicely on the cards and things. So, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a really great idea, and it was fun to think about, and fun to think about artwork and style and stuff along
right.
with this.
That's
too.
Something I'm very excited about for this game. Yeah. If I were to pursue it,
could be really really kind of cool and fun and quirky artwork and stuff. Yeah,
most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on though, huh?
Yeah, let's talk about a mechanic.
A mechanic of the week. I thought I would mention trick taking.
Hey, trick taking.
Hey, like euchre or hearts, you know,
or pinochle.
Pinochle. There you go. Yeah, kind of these traditional
spades.
Sure, these traditional card games that you play with a standard deck of cards, and we couldn't really find like a bigger gamer kind of game that uses this mechanic, this idea.
And I'm confident that they're out there.
Yeah, we couldn't figure out what any of them were.
You know, we haven't personally tried one, and then we mm-hmm. tried to use the BGG list, which of course was
90 pages of stuff neither one of us had ever heard of.
I appreciated that Rob's suggestion was that BGG should have a sorting mechanism called sort by games we've actually heard of.
Yeah.
So
I used an expletive in the middle of that, but we'll leave that out of this.
Rob was upset.
Yeah.
So
seriously though, BGG guys, if you're listening,
alphabetical does not help us.
Right. Let us sort by rating or something.
Number of fans.
I don't know.
Because generally the more popular games have higher fans.
Yeah.
You know, that would be nice.
I don't know. Anyway.
Something.
Or if there's that option, make it more obvious because we couldn't figure it out.
Or listeners, tell us how we're doing that wrong if it's possible.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm not going to lie. When I was first setting up our BGG guild, which we really haven't used yet.
Not at all.
We've got it out there though, and I planned at some point for us to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Flip from Flip the Table because
mm-hmm.
he set up theirs, and mm-hmm. I was like, dude, how do I do this? This is so complicated. Like, there's nothing is easy to find on this site.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Awesome resource if you know exactly what you're looking for and how to spell it and everything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, good luck to you, sir.
It's Greek. Anyway. So trick taking. So I thought, well, let's talk about trick taking and see if maybe we can kind of brainstorm a gamer game that uses that idea.
Yes, I like that.
Okay, so trick taking, the basic idea here is that everybody is putting cards or something. We'll stick with cards for right now. Everybody is playing cards, and you are trying to be the guy, and everyone else is trying to be that guy too, to get all those cards because you're going to get points for those cards.
So here's something I like. Let's combine trick taking with resource management. Just to kind of give it a nice little twist, right?
Okay.
So here's what I'm thinking. You've got, I've got two ways I can think of this. One would be every turn, players each put out a resource,
mm-hmm.
right? Everybody out of their resources puts a resource of their choice into the pool, right?
Okay.
And then everyone plays trick taking to try and take that, to take those resources.
Mm-kay.
Does that make sense?
All right.
Now, would you consider that true trick taking, or is that too different?
So that you're trying to take the resource as the trick.
Right. Alternatively, you could have, they could just be playing one card that could have a resource on it. But see, that's a little tougher because no. Okay. I could see this is better. So you've got a deck of resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those resources all have, and maybe that's the entire deck, is it's just a huge deck of resources.
Resources printed on these cards.
So say it's the typical resources, or brick, wood, sheep,
whatever.
And something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but each card doesn't have a picture of war on it. It's got an or and a five on it, say, right? And that or and the five means that it's five or.
Mm-hmm.
So to win, you want to have the highest one that you put out there, right? But if you put out a seven and someone puts out an eight, you just lost seven of that resource. So you're kind of managing, right? Does that make sense?
I think so.
Like if you play a low one, you're definitely going to lose it because everyone's going to beat you. But if you play a high one to try and win, now you're risking the chance of losing that big resource that you have that you need to do stuff with.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So how's that different just from spades?
The resources you would use and do something with the resources.
Okay. So there's something that happens next.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's what makes it a gamer game, Rob.
Well, all right.
Maybe the setup is you are these big railroad or oil barons, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe just these big industry barons. Yeah, maybe just these big industry barons.
Industry barons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like in the 20s or something. I don't know. You're like friggin' Rockefeller. And you guys are playing a card game.
I'm Joe Rockefeller. You're Steve Rockefeller. She's Sally Rockefeller. And she's
We're not all Judy Rockefellers.
Why can't we all be Rockefellers? I want to be a Rockefeller.
You can. I'll be a Carnegie. You be a Rockefeller. So the idea is that we're playing this card game, trading resources.
Okay.
So we're like, it's almost like you're bragging. We're like, oh, I've got this much oil. And you're like, yeah, well, I got this much coal or some other thing that's cool.
Uh-huh.
So they're like all these big wigs and they're comparing, look at how much coal I have. Look at how much oil I have. Look at how many trees I chopped down. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm talking like that.
Because that's how you want to talk.
So, and you know, whoever wins that thing where you're mm-hmm. like, look at this, look at that. Then boom, they take all of them.
Okay.
So it's almost like you're trading. In fact, maybe it's not even just resources. Maybe it's deeds to different businesses or properties or something like that. Like,
okay. All right. That's all right.
And then you use those as you're doing that every turn. You then use those to do something else.
Okay.
That gets you to your end game. Like maybe you're trying to collect sets. I mean, that would be something that would fit in with trick taking pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
If you're trying to collect sets of things. Or maybe, you know, maybe you just play around and whoever collects the most tricks gets something then. I kind of like the idea, though, that you're getting things that you can then use later in the game.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, see, because the idea that trick taking is that it just, you know, you're playing these cards and it's kind of a, you know, compact thing. What if everybody... You have four players and you go and everybody puts down one of those deeds, right? Okay. And then you have the opportunity then to play your, call them your cheating cards or your espionage cards. Okay. So all the cards are out there and then you can now play your espionage cards to see what you can do. So, you know, you can see who the winner is, but then you can play your espionage cards to try and, cheat. Or manipulate or something like that. Espionage probably isn't the right word, but you hear what I'm saying?
I think you're making trick taking confusing.
Yeah.
I think it would be easier if the trick taking mechanic was pure.
Yeah.
And then there was some step after or before that.
See, I feel like I want to modify it before, we put them down and see who the winner is. And then I feel like I want to give you the opportunity to use something you've already collected elsewhere to throw in there to say, haha, it's mine. It's mine. I tell you. Because that's how a villain would say it.
Would they?
Wouldn't they?
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm struggling with this.
Well.
I kind of don't like trick-taking games.
Yeah. Well, that's why we talk about mechanics like this, though. We're not a big fan of them, so let's talk about ways to
make them better. Yeah.
Or to make us like them.
Right.
I'm sure there are plenty of valid trick-taking games out there. I'm a big fan of Euchre and Hearts and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not me. Not so much. So, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I still think I'm a big fan of the idea of like these guys sitting around comparing their stuff, their things they own. And, you know, whoever's got the best of that wins. Maybe each turn something gets put out in the center and that says the type of thing they have to put out. You know what I mean? Like this type of business or this type of thing.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, anyway, we should move on.
Okay.
Let's practice a pitch here. It's your turn, and you are going to pitch
Snowball Fight.
All right.
So, Snowball Fight. This is going to be a pretty simple pitch because, as you know from playing the game,
yeah,
it took me about 45 seconds to explain the rules to you. Yeah. So, I'm going to try and make this take more than 45 seconds. Let's see how I go.
No. Okay.
So the idea of the game is a simple one. You are kids on like a snow day, and you've decided to have a big old snowball fight. So the way the game is set up is each player is dealt a number of kids in front of them, and they're just kid cards. You lay them out right in front of you. In a two-player game, there's five. In any other player game, there is three. I'm sorry, four. And the purpose of the game is to knock everyone's kids out of the game, to defeat the kids.
Yes.
To do that, you have to whip snowballs at each other.
Mm-hmm.
So there's you've got your kid cards. Then there's a deck of kind of like action cards. We'll call it action cards. And they are snowballs, just typical. I'm throwing a snowball at you. Or they're icy snowballs that hit harder and knock kids out.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive cards like a snow fort and a snowman, or a saucer sled, which allows you to bounce snowballs back at people. So that's kind of the idea of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So every turn, players play two cards, sometimes more. The standard is two. Some cards allow you to play more. You play two cards, you draw two cards. And so I'll throw a snowball at a kid. I hit the kid with it. It takes two snowballs to knock a kid out. So when I hit the kid with a snowball, I set it on top of his card. And that was my turn. And now the next person goes. And maybe they have a hot cocoa card. And the hot cocoa allows you to remove a snowball from the kid.
Sure.
And I really, with this game, wanted to create a fast-paced game that felt like kids having a snowball fight in a card game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how the game plays, yeah. I think. Am I leaving anything out? You always draw back up to five, no matter how many cards
you spend.
You don't
have to play two if you don't want to.
Yep, you can only play one. If you've got totally junk cards, you could discard two cards instead of doing anything else and draw two fresh cards. That really doesn't happen very often.
Not much.
It's a 90-card deck. 16 of those cards are kid cards. 74 are action cards. And I'm pretty proud of the fact that none of those cards are wasted. Yeah. Every single one of those cards is spendable most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I think with that little speech there, the listeners probably have a good enough indication of what the game is.
Yeah.
So with that,
I loved it.
We played it. Yeah. Tell me what you thought of it.
I loved it. I think it was instantly fun. It was instantly fun. You totally captured that fast paced feeling of being out in the street and hugging snowballs at each other, that kind of sensation of, oh man, I got hit with an ice ball. Ah, oh, that stinks. Ah, oh, I'm going home. This sucks. I don't want to play anymore. You know, all of your card names and card themes are all of the way the actions on the cards correspond with the name you've given it. It all works really well. It fits with the theme really, really well. It's already basically so familiar. It's a very familiar game already, because it's simple. I mean, I don't want to say it's rehashed, but it's the kind of thing that I feel like I've played before,
right?
You know, so it's and this is not being critical. It's not crazy innovative mechanics here or anything.
No, it's not meant to be,
and I wouldn't want it to be.
Right?
Yeah, I like that it's simple. It's just throw down the cards, beat each other up. There is player elimination. Again, another one we recorded that we'll be hearing soon.
You were eliminated.
I was eliminated.
Spoiler alert.
I didn't care. It was just fun to watch you and my wife duke it out for the rest of the game.
And I've tested this game with over 20 people at this point, now 20 different people. And that's how it's been every time. In fact, usually, I actually beat you guys. That's the first game I've ever won out of all the games I've played. And, you just start rooting for someone. I'm going to root for Jason, or I'm going to root for Rob. I want to see him beat the other people. Mm-hmm. And the game gets kind of intense.
It does. And it's because it's so fast paced, because it's play two cards. That's right. Boom, boom, done. Boom, boom, done. Boom, boom, done.
And while you have a good amount of options, depending on the cards you have, there's never a chance of analysis paralysis. I mean, it's always like, all right, what's logical here? You know?
Yeah, so you've got the cards are written well. You've got the ratios and their bounce really well. Maybe you just got lucky early on, or maybe you thought about it a lot in advance. I'm not sure, but I think it feels great, and it was just instantly fun right away.
Thank you. And you know, I mean, to talk about some balancing issues and stuff. When I first started the game, I shot for about 50-50. snowballs versus like offensive versus defensive.
Mm-hmm.
I still have that. There are 38, I believe 38 offensive and 36 defensive. And I feel pretty good about that, mm-hmm. about that split. Balance wise, rarely does it happen that you get just a bad hand where you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
The one time where I find people can't do something, and this is by design, is there's a whiteout card. Mm-hmm. And when you play the whiteout card, it says no one can throw snowballs until your next turn.
Right.
It's so kind of a safety card. Right. Like, I don't want to die.
Yeah. And they can still play other cards. They can still do defensive stuff, but they just can't throw a snowball.
But on those turns, a lot of times you'll get, I pass. Or I'll play one card.
Yeah.
But there's only three of those in the deck. So it doesn't happen. I think there actually might only be two now. It doesn't happen that often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of the other things I was concerned about was keeping the deck small, but mm-hmm. making it that you didn't have to. I told myself that I would be okay if in a four-player game, you had to shuffle the deck one time.
Mm-hmm.
And about 40% of the games, you maybe even 30%, you'll have to shuffle the deck once.
Mm-hmm.
But normally you don't.
I don't remember.
Three-player game, we did not.
We did not.
We had a few cards left, but Christine and I went back and forth
for a while.
You know, and what's funny, too, is I want to say that game played in about 15 minutes with us.
Something like that.
Or less.
It was pretty quick, yeah.
It's fast. It's funny because you'll feel like, oh, gosh, we'll be going back and forth forever, mm-hmm. and it's been like, oh, it's been 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly support that game. That is, I think that is immediately publishable. I think that's an easy sell.
Yeah, yeah. I hope so. I will say right now, listeners, we're looking at some options for what to do with it. Mm-hmm. I hope in the near future to kind of be able to talk some more about that. Mm-hmm. You know, whether we're going to seek a publisher or not seek a publisher and try it on our own. You know,
sure.
So my wife and I have spent a lot of time talking about the game, and she loves the game.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
My wife likes games, but you know, some of the games that I've designed aren't necessarily up her alley. They're a little more complex, and you know. Whereas this, you know, she played it and we finished playing and she said, this is great. Let's play it again.
Yeah.
I mean, boom, just like that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's good.
So, well,
yeah,
now we have something very exciting to do.
We have a special event. Yeah. We, it's time for us to draw stuff from a hat.
Yes.
Isn't this great? I love pulling things out of hats.
Yes. Like rabbits and ideas.
Right.
So listeners, a little recap here.
Yeah.
We asked you to send us names for fake games and mechanics, the hardest, toughest mechanics you could think of. And we said that we would take those names and Rob would draw a name and I would draw a name. And then each of us would draw two mechanics and we would design games, to pitch on the show based on those things. And, I'm pretty excited about this.
Yeah. So we have two hats here, one with names, one with mechanics. And we want to draw the names first.
Yep. So what'll happen is, doesn't matter, Rob or I can go first, but we'll each draw a name separately and then we'll read it to you. And then we'll each draw a mechanic and then we'll each draw another mechanic. And then we'll recap at the end as to what we're going to pitch.
Okay. I'll let you draw the name first.
Okay.
Okay.
He's got the hat coming over here. All right. Here I go. Drawing a name out. And, the name I got. Is Grandma's Goat. I love it.
Grandma's Goat. Okay, Grandma's Goat.
And now Rob's turn to draw.
Do you want
to
hold the hat for me?
I would love to hold the hat for you.
All right, here we go. Let's get the thing in there. Oh, almost knocked one out. Okay. All right, okay, you ready? I've got Demon Surprise.
Wow.
Demon Surprise.
That is creepy sounding.
All right, well, I drew it, so we got to do it. Okay, we'll see what happens with that. Demon Surprise. It's all going to hinge on what mechanics I get, I think. Whether I can make that something. Demon Surprise. Maybe it's his birthday. Surprise!
Yeah. I would just try and keep... That's going to be... I just hope we can keep that one PC.
Yeah. Okay. And now Jason's going to draw a mechanic from the second hat.
Okay. Oh gosh. Okay.
Okay, what do you got?
Deck building with tile placement. So I talked to the guy who submitted this, and he was referring to deck building.
But you're
drawing
tiles instead of cards.
You're drawing tiles.
Wow.
For Grandma's Goat.
For Grandma's Goat.
I think I can make that work. Okay. I think I can make that work. I like it.
Okay, my turn?
Yeah.
I'll go ahead. You don't need to hold the hat this time.
Okay, good.
Okay.
It was creepy.
Yeah. All right, what do I got? Prize draws.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's great with Demon Surprise.
That was one of my favorite ones.
Prize draws. Okay. One more mechanic for you.
All right. Skill checks.
Skill checks.
So,
okay. Grandma's got to do some skill checks with her tiles and her goat.
Or her goat does.
Her goat would have to do the skill checks. You're right. Okay. And then my last mechanic here. Oh, this is all right. This is okay. Bluffing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this could be good. I think I've got
three things that go together really well.
Yeah, I've got a good game here. So to recap here, the game that I'm going to design is called Demon Surprise, and it will feature prize draws and bluffing.
All right, and the game that I'm going to design is called Grandma's Goat, and it will feature deck building with tile placement, and skill checks. I'm excited. I've already designed this game in my head.
Oh,
just
really?
Now.
Right just now. Just like yeah. That. It's done.
Yes.
I think Demon Surprise might be a lot of fun. I think this is going to be a party game.
Yeah.
I think this is probably going to be a party game.
Yeah. Creepy party game. So, yeah. All right.
Okay. Thanks, listeners, for that. I guess we're going to give ourselves a few weeks here to work on these, and we're going to have a few other episodes, special episodes that'll post in the meantime, of course, at least one. And when we come back in a few weeks, we will be able to pitch. I think I'll go first.
Yep.
I'll go first to pitch Demon Surprise. So stay tuned. Stay tuned for that.
So now that we've decided these games we're going to pitch, and you've told people when we're going to pitch them, how about this? How about I tell you who is responsible for these awesome things that we just got?
Yes, please, so we can thank them.
So, you got Demon Surprise, mm-hmm. which was suggested by Mikey Jones.
Ooh, Mikey Jones, thank you.
Yes, and I got Grandma's Goat, which was suggested by Danny Devine.
Danny Devine, thank you, Danny.
And then for the mechanics is what I was looking for.
Okay.
You got prize draws, uh-huh. which was suggested by Anissa Jones.
Ooh.
I got skill checks, which was suggested by Mikey Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I have bluffing.
Bluffing, which was suggested by Chris Michaud.
Oh,
also
Chris.
Known as Chris from Flip the Table.
Yes, sir.
And also deck building with tile placement, which was suggested by Danny Devine. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And we will save the other ones that we had.
We sure
most
will.
Definitely. You know, listeners, we're not doing the contest right now, but if you're ever struck with inspiration, you send it to us, we'll throw it in. Well, based on these draws right here, we're going to do this again.
I think so.
I think it's pretty safe to say that at some point we'll do this again. So based on that, we will do this again, and we will keep yours because there are some gems in here.
Really good stuff that we didn't draw.
That's just awesome sauce. So, all right. That's
okay.
All.
Looks like we have one question or one comment from the website. This is from, it says from Farrell. I'm not sure.
Adam Farrell.
Adam Farrell. Okay, thank you. Adam Farrell, he says on the website, this is in relation to our episode 40, Scrapyard Cats and Frankenstein Reborn. I pronounced that weird twice. hey guys, great show. I really enjoyed giving it a listen, and I'm going to start working through the catalog. Keep up the good work. Well, thanks, Adam.
Yeah, and Adam's a nice guy. I've talked to him on Twitter a bit before he made that post, so he sent us some suggestions.
Then that wraps us up here for tonight. Thank you once again, as always, everyone, for listening to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. We appreciate it. You can visit our website, which is buildingthegamepodcast.com. You can also send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. Once again, anytime you send us an email or a Twitter question or make a comment on the website, we promise we will read it on the show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at podcastbtg. I am at poorly_designed, and Jason is at J.A. Slingerland. You can like us on Facebook and give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and you can check back next week and all that other radness and awesome stuff, and be our friends.
We love people who are our friends.
We sure do. Good night. Yeah. Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.
Next time on Building the Game.
I love to brainstorm.
That's the best Scottish accent I could ever imagine. Are you sure you weren't born and raised in Scotland?
Don't mock me.